Matthew chapter 5, verse number 33. We'll begin there, and then I'll have you in just a moment turn over to James chapter number 5, and we'll be looking at verse number 12. But first of all, let's stand for the reading of the Bible, and we'll look first of all in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 33, Matthew 5, 33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forbear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Now, hold your place in Matthew chapter 5, because we'll be back there. But go to James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. And we'll look at verse number 12. James chapter 5 and verse number 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to rightly divide the word of truth this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to leave here understanding, dear God, the context of these verses, their meaning. And also, Lord, that we can incorporate these things into our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This past week, we observe, many of you got to see it on TV. I was not able to get to a place where I could watch it. So later on, I caught some clips on the late news. But we watched them swear in the President of the United States and swear in the Vice President of the United States. And I want to say this, thank God that we still have a tradition where the men that are about to take the highest office in our country lays their hand on the King James Holy Bible and promises to uphold the Constitution and promises to do their job in accordance to the outlines of the Constitution. I want you to understand, I'm not against that. I'm going to kind of clarify this scripture a little bit. I'm not against folks that when they go into the courtroom, if they want them to put their hand on the Bible and raise left hand on the Bible, raise their right hand and swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, that's fine. I don't think that the Bible is condemning those things. What I think the Bible is saying here is this. You know what, folks? We shouldn't have to do that. In other words, here's what Jesus is saying in these portions of scriptures. If the only time you can be trusted to let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay is if you first have to put your hand on the Bible and swear, then you have a serious character flaw. And what the Bible's saying is, in all of our communication, we should be sure to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So, okay, if I lay my hand on the Bible and swear, then I got to tell the truth. But if I go out and I sell a used car, then I don't have to tell the truth. Unless the guy makes me, maybe we ought to have a Bible at every used car dealership, you know. And then the Bible's saying, you know what, that's a double standard. For a born-again Christian, we should always make sure that if we say yay, then it's yay. And if we say nay, then it's nay. I remember when you were kids, and there was always some way, some little secret code where you could make a promise and not have to keep it. You know, you'd promise your brother, you'd promise your sister that you'd do their chores on a certain day if they would do this. And then later on, when they tried to cash in on the promise, you'd say, well, I had my fingers crossed, all right? And the Bible's trying to tell us that, listen, there's no secret way, there's no secret code for a Christian. Your yea should always mean yea, and your nay should always mean nay. And I got to thinking about this as I was reading these portions of Scripture and searching this out a little bit, and I thought to myself, okay, well, if that's true, then every time in the Bible I find a yea, then you know what? If God said, let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, when God says the word yea, it's there for emphasis to know, let you know, hey, I mean this. And so I got to study in that. Do you realize there's 130 yays in the Bible? 130 yays in the Bible. We're going to look at every one of them this morning. Yes, I knew you'd be on board, brother. Thank you, man. Amen. We'll be out of here somewhere around 4:30, 5:30 this afternoon. But no, I've just picked out a handful of yays. And I had so much fun with this study. I just said, I'm going to pick out my five or six favorite yays. And so are you ready to go look at them this morning? Go to John chapter number 11, John chapter number 11. And I think the next time that you come across in the Bible one of these yay verses, you're going to think, you know what? When God says yay, he means yay. And you know what? When we say yay, we ought to mean yay. And so the first one I want to point you to is in John chapter number 11 and verse number 22. We see the story here where Lazarus has died and Martha and Mary are grieving and Jesus is on his way. And if you'll notice there in verse number 24, let's go to John chapter 11, verse number 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I like this. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And you know what? I think every Christian in this matter of saying yea and making sure our yea means yea, we ought to be able to say this. Yea, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Yea, Lord, I believe it. By the way, listen, if you're saved, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Never be ashamed of your testimony. Last week on our Sunday morning service, we heard the testimony of a blind man. I want to remind you of the closing conversations between him and the Lord Jesus. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You know what, folks? This man wasn't ashamed to stand up and say, I believe that you are the Lord, the Christ, the Savior of the world, the chosen one, the Son of God. He believed and then he worshiped him. There's another story in Mark chapter 9 about a man that had a son that was plagued. And this father had watched his son being tormented, and he came to the disciples to try to get his disciples, Jesus' disciples, to help them, but they couldn't help the man. And Jesus finally intervenes here in Mark chapter 9, verse 21, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. We're talking about the importance of believing. All things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You know what, I read that and you say, preacher, that don't sound like a very strong faith. Well, aren't you glad that the Bible tells us that if we have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed, we can say to a mountain that it be removed and it'll be removed. And you know what? God isn't looking for a mountain of faith to move a mustard seed. He's saying you can have a mustard seed of faith and move a mountain. And you say, well, he didn't have much faith. He had enough faith to get his son healed. How about that? And you know why? Because with his mouth, he said, I believe. I believe. In Acts chapter 8, we see the evangelist Philip is interrupted in the great revival in Samaria and commanded to go out into the desert. And he's being led by the Spirit in verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and says, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a dumb lamb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, Of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, here it is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him there. Now, folks, listen to me. I think our, in this matter of salvation, our yea ought to be a yea, or our nay ought to be a nay. What does that mean? That means you're either saved and you know it, or you're lost. You need to be on one side of the fence or the other. I knock on a lot of doors. I talk to a lot of people. There's a lot of interesting answers being given to the question, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? This matter of, well, I think so, or, well, I'm trying, well, I'm not sure. Listen, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. You know what? God does not want you wondering about eternity, worried about eternity. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And you know how you know that for sure? You choose to believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the Son of God. And you know what? You let your yea be yea. You've heard the old evangelists and many preachers give this idea. You know what? Many people miss heaven by 18 inches. And there's a difference between believing that Jesus, in Jesus, that he existed, believing it up here, and believing it in your heart unto salvation. I'm not talking about a head belief, a proclamation of intellect. I'm talking about a heart belief where you embrace by faith the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that salvation experience, folks, listen to me, is important. And from time to time, your preacher's going to come to the pulpit and say, listen, let's all travel back in our memory to the day we say that we were saved. I mean, on the timeline of your life, can you look back at a time where you were born again, that you know for sure that you were saved? Listen to me, are you there? Did you remember feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God convicting you of your sin, of your lost condition? Do you remember the drawing of the Father as he drew you to himself? Did you believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God? Did you understand the gospel that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose again? Not just for the sins of the whole world, for your sins was buried and rose again. And did you call out by faith and ask Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing in your heart that Jesus was your only hope for heaven? Now, folks, if those things are true, you can say, yay, I'm saved. Yay, I believe. And by the way, if those things aren't true in your life, we're certainly not looking down on you. Matter of fact, I remember walking into a church. I walked into a church many a time lost. I know what it is to sit in an auditorium and listen to a preacher talk about salvation and feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God in my life. Nobody in here was born saved. Every single one of us had to be saved. And so you know what? If you say, preacher, I can't say that my yea is yea when it comes to this matter of salvation, then you know what? Before you leave the church this morning, you can know 100% that you're on your way to heaven. Folks, we ought to be able to say, yay, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Let's go over to Luke chapter number 11. Let's look at another yay this morning, Luke chapter number 11. I've got several here. You say, how many are we going to cover? Well, we'll just watch the clock and give you a good sermon's worth of them, all right? A good sermon's worth of them. Luke chapter number 11. And Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 27, Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 27, Luke 11 and verse number 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said, blessed is the woman that bare thee in the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You know what this lady was saying? She was saying, God bless your mama. That's what she was saying. God bless the woman that brought you into this world. God bless your mama. That sounds like a woman, you know, one mama sticking up for another mama. Let me stop right here and give you something, folks. And by the way, sometimes people say, well, you just go after other churches. No, I preach the truth. And by the way, I'm going to put the spotlight on churches that don't speak the truth. But you know what? If there was never an opportunity for Jesus to exalt and extol his mother to the point of being divine, he had an open door to do it right there. But you know what? He bypassed this opportunity because, folks, listen to me. Mary was not divine. Mary was not perfect. Mary was not sinless. Mary had to be saved the same way me or you have to be saved. She had to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so be careful, be wary of any church, any preacher that says the only way to get to Jesus is to talk to his mother and let his mother talk to him. Let me tell you something, that is false doctrine. It's of the devil. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so if he wanted to have an opportunity to exalt his mother to a point of being divine, he had it here. But you know what he said and say? Yea, rather. In other words, wait a minute, no, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God, notice this, and keep it. I'm reminded of Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Folks, listen to me. I'm going to say this morning. Yea, I believe that I will be blessed if I hear the word of God and keep it. I believe that with all of my heart. That's why I read my Bible. That's why I study my Bible. That's why I come to church. I want to hear the Bible. I want to know what it says, and I want to put it into practice. I warned our Sunday school class this morning, be careful. I mean, good Christians can come faithfully to church and just be hearers of the word of God only and not doers. And that verse goes on to say, deceiving your own self. And it's not enough. Say, preacher, I should be blessed because I've come to hear the word of God. No, the Bible, Jesus didn't say that. He said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And so the blessing comes not in the hearing, the blessing comes in the obedience to what is heard. And by the way, folks, let's just stop here and say this. Psalms chapter 1, if you want to live a blessed life, then you know what? You need to be strongly connected to this book. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, you're going to go one of two different places to form your opinions about everything and anything in this world. Please listen to what I'm going to say. You can go and separate yourself from a Bible preaching church and sit with a bunch of backsliders. And you know what? I found out this. You get a room full of 5 or 6 backsliders, and they can talk themselves in and out of almost anything. But you know what? The one thing they don't want? They don't want the preacher to show up to that meeting with an open King James Holy Bible. Because they know in their hearts that he could take the scriptures and blow up every silly little pathetic thing, excuse that they're using for being a backslider. Now listen, you're either going to be blessed because you separate yourself from that crowd, get to the church house, listen to the Bible, it'll make you think right, so you'll feel right, and then you'll act right, or you can go find, hey, I can tell you right now where they're gathering, okay? I mean, you know what? I can tell you which Facebook page to go onto. I can tell you which crowd to go. If you want to hang with that crowd, go hang with that crowd. But you're going to have your faith destroyed, and you're going to lose the blessing of God. And you know what I've decided? Listen, I'm going to hear the word of God, and I'm going to keep it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Notice this. The Bible says to meditate on the word of God day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all. So he said, I don't want you to just think on the scripture so that you can walk around and win the memorization contest. I want you to think on the scriptures so that you can observe to do all that is written therein. And you know what? If you'll begin to do that, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to begin to live the blessed life. Now, every born-again Christian here, I'm going to help you with something. You ought to be willing to stand up and say, yay, and let your yay be yay. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. My yay is going to be yay in that area of my life. By the way, this book, I'm going to study it, I'm going to listen to it preach, and I'm going to obey it. Yay! That's what I'm going to do. And let your yay be yay. You're going to have to make some decisions in your life sooner or later about who and what is going to influence you. And I'm going to recommend this book right here. I'm going to tell you what, it's done me good my entire life. Let's go to John chapter 21. John chapter number 21. Let me show you another yay. Just some yays this morning. Let's let our yays be yay. In John chapter number 21, Peter goes through a brief time of backsliding. Let's not throw stones at Peter. I think we've all been there before. We got in a moment of discouragement. Next thing you know, things didn't work out exactly the way we thought they would work out. And here this ex-fisherman that agreed to follow Jesus and to spend his life being a fisher of men has turned his back on the ministry and now gone back to fishing. And of course, Jesus shows up in this chapter. And in verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Then Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. Now, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, here it is, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now, folks, I'm just saying, pointing out some things this morning where, you know what, when these things are said, we ought to say, my yea in that area of my life, my yea is going to be yea. Now, here's what Peter said. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Boy, the question comes to my mind and a little bit of conviction comes to my heart. I think to myself, if Jesus walked into the room this morning, maybe he walked through that back door and through those double back doors. And by the way, he's not going to do that. You know, the next time Jesus comes to this earth, he's not coming, but to the clouds with the sound of the trumpet to bring us up there. So of course this is hypothetical, but suppose Jesus walks through that door and through those double doors and comes up here and says, could I just say a word? And of course, good night, it's Jesus. Man, I'll be glad to come down and sit right on the front row and listen to everything he has to say. But instead of speaking to the entire congregation, he looks us over and then he goes over and he starts with this young man here. And instead of asking us corporately to answer a question, he comes one at a time individually and looks us in the eye and says, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? What is this more than these? Well, you fill in the blank. For Peter, it was, 170 some fish? I mean, you know what? They pulled the fish in and there they are flopping around on the, Jesus says, don't you love me more than these? Than these? And you know what? Fish is what got Peter off track. Going back to fishing. So when Jesus asked the question, lovest thou me more than, because it's Jesus, and when he speaks with Holy Spirit power, the Holy Spirit brings instantly to your mind the things that have supplanted Christ in this matter of priority when it comes to loving. And so he goes to every single individual. You know what? I ran over here and got this seat right here, but as I watch him go and looking at all of those young men and ask them that question, I'm not thinking of the condition of their heart. You know what I'm thinking? After every single one, he's getting closer to me. By the way, it's a good day in your life when you come to church and you stop listening to the sermon as it applies to everybody else in the congregation. You start listening to the sermon as it applies to you. All right. Boy, I'm glad he said that. Oh, sister so-and-so needed that. Glad he said that. Boy, brother so-and-so. Glad he said that. Our teenagers sure need. Hey, how about you? And he's coming to you with this question. And he asked this question. He says, Lovest thou me more than these? He looks me right in the eye. And by the way, folks, listen, you can tell me anything. I can tell you anything. Well, you're looking in the eyes of Jesus, the one who knows all. And he's going to know the answer to that question before he asks it. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what? Let's get over here. Let's get over here and let our yea be yea. In this matter of loving Jesus, let's not be yea, yea, and then nay, nay. And then yea, yea, and then nay, nay. In other words, what I'm saying, young people, I'm glad you came to church on Sunday, and I'm glad you came here. And you know what? If I asked you in Sunday school, do you love Jesus? I think every one of you would shake your head yes. But wait a minute. Let's go to the public school tomorrow, and let's walk over to the lunch table. And let's look at you amongst your friends and say, do you love Jesus? Let's go over to the neighborhood where you play ball. Do you love Jesus? Let's go to the crowd of friends that you've gathered around you. Can I come to you? Listen, you know what? It's a funny thing that happens to a preacher. I remember the day that I had a business to do it. Somebody I needed to meet with, the principal over at Linton Stockton Elementary School. And you know what I did? I went to the elementary school and I met with the principal. It's been several years ago. And then after I got done meeting with him, I was going to go over and meet with the junior high and high school principal. And so I got done with the elementary principal. And you know what? As I'm walking through the hallways, the bell rang. And oh my goodness sakes, you know what? I mean, 1 second I'm in an empty hallway in a very safe situation. Next thing I know, every door burst open and kids are flying everywhere. And man, I just kind of get up against a wall and try not to get killed, you know. But you know what was so exciting to me was how many of the young people that come here on the bus on Sunday saw their preacher and would come running over to me and yelling down the hallway, Pastor Ross, Pastor, Pastor, come over and give me a hug and talk to me and excited to see me. Then I went to the junior high and high school. And I went to the principal and I met with him and I came out. About the time I came out, bell rang and everybody was heading for lunch. And you know what? I tried to make eye contact with teenager after teenager. I'm saying this to you teenagers because you need to hear it. And you know what? All of a sudden they look up and they're with their friends and there's their pastor. And all of a sudden they look away like they don't even know me. And they kind of, and I'll even call out to their name, hey, how are you doing? And they just kind of look and act like they don't know me, or they kind of give me a quick hi and then shoot away. And I think to myself, you say, preacher, did that hurt your feelings? No, let me tell you what it did. It made me think, do I do that to Jesus? Do I do that to Jesus? I mean, in the right circumstance, do you love him? Yes! Is he first in your life? Yes! Then you get over in this circumstance. Do you love him? Shh, not here. Not now. Listen, folks, if we're going to be Christians, then let's let our yea be yea. Are you saved? I'm going to let you answer yea or nay, okay? Are you saved? Yeah. All right, then let your yea be yea. Amen. All right. Do you love Jesus? Yeah. All right, then that yea ought to carry out of this church this afternoon into your home. It ought to carry over into the tomorrow's day. By the way, it ought to influence and affect everything that comes out of your mouth. Listen, it ought to affect what you put on tomorrow morning when you're dressing yourself. It ought to affect everything that you say and how you treat your brothers and how you treat your sisters and how you, or whether or not you obey your mom and dad. What I'm saying is, listen, let's stop being hypocrites. I shouldn't have to get you, have to say, put your hand on the Bible and swear to it. If you say you love Jesus, then you know what? You ought to love him every single day. And he ought to be number one in your life. Man, isn't that convicting? But boy, that's good for us. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. We're going to see another yay here. Let your yay be yay. Let your yay be yay. 1 Corinthians. This is an exciting one to me. And I think it's going to be an encouragement to each and every one of you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 26. 1 Corinthians 1 verse number 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. What's the next word? Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Look right up here. I'm going to tell you, here's another yay that I'm excited about. Yay, I'm excited that God uses nobodies to astound the somebodies. How about that? I'm excited that God uses nobodies to astound the somebodies. Now, folks, let me just tell you something. I'm going to help some of you young people and some of you teenagers. I'm going to help some of you adults. Let me tell you something that began to occur to me when I got to be about halfway through elementary school. And by the way, I'm so thankful that, you know, when you're a kindergarten kid, there's a lot of things you don't pick up on. I mean, you're just there for fun and lunch and recess, and you're trying to learn how to tie your shoe and count to 10, amen? And in second grade, you're just there for the fun. In third grade, you're just pretty much there for the fun. But somewhere around fourth, fifth grade, all of a sudden, you notice in the public school system, something I call a pecking order starts developing. And you know what? Sadly, I think it may be getting down into even some of the younger grades. And all of a sudden, we have something that begins way down in elementary school, and folks, some people never, ever get away from it. And that's this. Well, here's the cool crowd. Here's here's the cool kids. Okay, here's the in group. Here's the somebodies. Oh, maybe it's because their mom and dad make a little bit more money than somebody else's mom and dad, or maybe it's because their mom or dad has a position in the community or position in, you know, in the neighborhood. Maybe because one of them's a doctor or a lawyer, something that people would count as important. And all of a sudden, this crowd seems to kind of find themselves. Maybe it's because this guy or some of these guys are super athletic. And so all of a sudden, they become somebodies in the elementary, somebodies in the junior high. And it seems like everybody else is kind of like over here in the, I guess, the nobodies. Because if you're not a somebody, then maybe you're stuck being a nobody. And so a lot of the nobodies will spend their life trying to break into the somebody's club. And by the way, you young ladies be careful, you young men be careful, because a lot of times the price tag for popularity is to walk away from the scriptures. The price tag of popularity a lot of time is to lose your purity. But you know what? You got to be important. You got to be part of the crowd. And you know what? I used to think, man, well, thank goodness one of these days we'll get out of high school and all that nonsense will go away. Let me introduce you to small town America. Because you know what, folks? I'm sorry, but in Linton, there still is a group of people that think they are the somebodies. And they look down their nose at everybody else as if they're the nobody. And that's not just Linton. That is Jasonville, and that is Worthington, and that is Sullivan. I think there's enough people even in Midland or Colmont maybe to pull this off. I don't know. It seems like wherever you get enough people, a little group, there's a bunch of them to pull themselves over. We're the somebodies. You're the nobodies. And you kind of walk around saying, well, man, maybe I'm just a nobody. And then God shows up in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And he says, you know what I do when I'm looking for people to do astounding things? You know what I look for when I find somebody to be an absolute hero in the faith? You know what the crowd I go looking for the preachers and the prophets and the bus captains and the Sunday school teachers? And I'm not talking about whether or not maybe they'll never be popular on this earth, but buddy, one of these days in heaven, they're going to be popular. They're going to be first billing. God bypasses the snobs and goes over here to the nobodies and says, you know what? Let me make you a somebody. You don't have to become a somebody by being with that crowd. They're a bunch of losers. They're the devil's playthings. Why don't you decide you're going to get in with God and be a somebody? Now, let me just say this. That's not just small town America, and sometimes that's not public school. Sometimes that's Christian school. And sometimes that's even in an independent fundamental Baptist church. And every once in a while, your preacher is going to walk up here and say what you've heard me say many a time. I don't care if the governor of the state of Indiana walks through that door, he's not going to be treated any better or any worse than one of these bus kids that walk in at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. God's no respecter of persons, and the ground's level at the cross. And so you know what? Hey, you know what? The world can say, you're a nobody. But you know what? God says, good, that qualifies you to be a somebody in my eyes. And that's what this portion of scripture is saying, is this. Hey, yay, you know what? God uses nobodies to astound the somebodies. And you know what, young people? Don't you sell your Christianity, and don't you sell your purity, and don't you sell your Bible standards so that you can fit in with a bunch of lost people and a bunch of carnal Christians. Don't you throw it away. You stay over here and do right. Well, yeah, but I'm made fun of. Well, you go ahead and let them. You know what I always say, young people? If that crowd makes fun of you, you write down your phone number and you hand it to them and say, call me in 10 years and we'll see how things work out. You know what I believe? If you just stay true to God and you stay true to the cross and you stay true to this King James Holy Bible and you do right and don't you worry about popularity and trying to fit in what the world's doing, what the world thinks is cool, what the world thinks is acceptable. I mean, folks, listen to me. Young people, I'm so proud of you young ladies, and many of you are doing right and living right and you're being clean. But you know what? This crowd over here, they like putting pressure on you. You know, they like trying to make you feel like you're something lower or beneath because you won't be like them. You young ladies, let me talk to you about this. I'm going to do it carefully. It's a matter of purity. When young ladies throw away that precious gift and they lose their purity, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll put the pressure on the pure girls and make fun of them. Watch this. Make fun of them for being pure to the point where they feel so bad they think, well, maybe I ought to throw that away. Listen to me. This is what you say to that crowd. I could be what you are any day of my life, but you can never again be what I am. Right. Wait a minute. Right. Who's the nobody and who's the somebody? Right. Let's be more worried about what God thinks about us than we do a crowd of carnal, worldly losers. Amen. Right. Young people, I know this is true because I went to public school all the way up through my 10th grade year. I know that many of you Christian kids go there and you're made fun of and you're picked on. And you know what? Sometimes you're mistreated by the in crowd. You just find a place right here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And you know what? You just fit in here. If you fit in with God's crowd, then you don't have to worry about what the devil's crowd is saying. Amen. Yay! I'm excited about that. Yay! You say, preacher, what in the world did you have to do to become pastor of Blessed Oak Baptist Church? I had to be a nobody. I had to be a nobody. Well, you're nothing. Amen. Amen. You shouldn't be pastor, and I know things about you. Get a piece of paper and pen out. I don't know what you know, but I can give you a lot worse things than you probably know. I mean, if that's what makes you happy. But I'm going to tell you this. You find me a person that's got a humble heart. You know, folks, the only people God's got to work with is sinners. The preacher, I've messed up. Hell, I think most of us, I think there's a lot of us could join that club. We've all messed up at some point in our life. You know what? God just uses, you know what? Can I say this? I'm going to say it. You know where God goes and picks up his choice of servants? A lot of time he picks them up off the garbage pile of the world. The devil and the world will use you and abuse you, and then they'll lose you and throw you away when they're done with you. And God comes along and says, well, You tired of trying to be a somebody? Yeah. You know that you're a nobody? Yeah. Good. Come with me. Let me make you a somebody. Whoo! I'm getting excited about this. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What do you think about that? Revelation chapter 14. I'll give you one more. Revelation chapter number 14. We're talking about letting your yea be yea. I read this verse. I got so blessed by it. Revelation chapter number 14. Look at verse number 13. Revelation 14:13. Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Now we're talking about that. We're talking about death. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Wow. That means if you're a Christian, you're saved, and you die, it's a blessed thing. Why is it a blessed thing? I want to keep reading here. Yay. Saith the Spirit. Whoa, no, wait a minute. If I say yay or if you say yay, we got to let our yay be yay. But if the Holy Spirit says yay, I promise you, his yay is always yay. Okay? Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Yea, I believe that there is a blessed place of rest and reward at the end of this life. Yea, can I say it this way? I believe in heaven. I believe in heaven. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you realize that one of these days that they may have rest from their labors? Say, preacher, do you ever get tired? I'm tired this morning. By the way, so are most of you. You come in here, God bless you. You worked hard all week. I appreciate that. You come in, you're exhausted. Say, preacher, does it ever bother you when somebody falls asleep in church? No, I know our people well enough to know that most of them that are falling asleep in church have a good reason to fall asleep in church. Number one, they're worn out. Number two, I must be kind of boring that morning, you know. So I'm not getting with it enough, all right? Keep you awake. You know, one of these days you're going to get a chance to rest from your labors. By the way, let's work while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. You know what I always say? Hey, folks, listen, we're going to have eternity to rest. Let's do something for God. Hey, listen, don't get slothful. Don't get lazy. There's going to be a resting time one of these days. It's not yet. There's going to be a resting time one of these days. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Lord, they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Talking about rest and reward. Rest and reward. One of these days when we get to heaven, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Hey, let's let our yeas be yea and our nays be nay. Let's go back to the beginning. How about this matter of salvation? Can you stand over here and say, yay? There's been a time, preacher, when I've been saved. Yay, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Yay, I believe he's the Son of God. Yay, I've received him as my Savior. Or has the Holy Spirit helped you to come over here and say, preacher, I'd have to give you a nay on that one because I've never been saved, not truly saved. You know what? This morning, you can be saved. I came to a church as a young man. Heard the gospel, got under conviction on a Sunday morning, got out of my pew, walked to the front, knelt down on an altar, had a preacher open the Bible and show me how I could be saved. You know what? From that day forward, I've been able to stand over here and say, yay. Yay, I'm saved. Yay, I'm saved. I want that for you this morning. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody's looking around. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Do you know that for sure? Preacher, I can go back in my mind and in my memory and I can find that place, that time where I know that I was under Holy Spirit conviction, where I know I felt the drawing of the Father, where I know that I believed in Jesus as the Savior, where I know that I understood that my sins were paid for on Calvary, and where I, in simple faith, believed and prayed and asked Christ to save me. I know that, I know that, I know that. My yea is yea. Maybe you can't say that this morning. Preacher, I don't know that. But I'd sure like to be able to lay my head on my pillow at night, knowing for sure that if anything were to happen, whether I was to be taken to death or whether Jesus was to come back, as you mentioned one day in the clouds, I'd like to be able to lay my head on my pillow at night knowing that I'm saved. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You say, preacher, I need to be saved. I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. I want to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you. By the way, I won't embarrass you. I won't call you by name, but I'll pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. Anybody at all looking all around across the auditorium, preacher, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. Is there anyone at all like that? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless, dear God. And help us, dear Lord, as we study your Bible. I pray that you'd take this little word, Y-E-A, and you'd just help it to be lit up in neon as we study the Bible and read the Bible. And I pray, Lord, that wherever you say yea, Lord, we'll answer yea, yea, Lord, yea. I pray, Lord, that we'll always fall on the side of the Word of God. I pray these things in Jesus' name.